You know, we're going to start today a little bit different than we've ever started before. When I say start, we've already started, haven't we? Before we get to the sermon time, the message time, we're going to do something a little bit different than we have ever done before. And I told the earlier service, if you want to bring tomatoes next week, that's up to you. But we're going to do it again. We're going to do it a number of times through the next course of time because I've entitled this series, Doing Life. And so we're going to start a little bit differently. And what do I mean by that? We're going to watch a video, a short music video, that I hope, before you judge me on this and say that's lame, I hope that you will listen to the words of this video. Listen very, very closely. Because in this video is from Casting Crowns, and it's a music video called Does Anybody Hear Her? That's my challenge to us today. Last week and today, brothers and sisters, do we, the church, see and hear those around us that are hurting? And I want you to see and hear the relationship in this music video, the relationship of the church to the unchurched. I want us to think about that intentionally today. There's a lot of lost and lonely people within the shadow of our steeples. And I'm asking us again today, do we care? Do we care enough to do something for the hurting and the lost? Former New York City Mayor Rudolph Giuliani went to a lot of funerals after 9-1-1. We remember 9-1-1, right? I was trying to explain that to my six-year-old grandson this morning when once again he wanted me to read me the sermon, Papa. He wasn't even born then, but he knows about it. And Rudy Giuliani went to a funeral of yet another Port Authority worker at Jim Simbla's church, Brooklyn Tabernacle. I referred to Jim Simbla and the Brooklyn Tabernacle here a week or two ago. And Pastor Simbla invited Rudy to the podium, and here's what he said. You know, people, he said, I've learned something through all of this. Let me see if I can express it to you. When everyone was fleeing that building, and the cops and the firefighters and the EMS people were heading into it, do you think any one of them said, I wonder how many blacks are up there? I wonder how many whites are up there. Do you think any of them said, I wonder how many Jews are up there? Let's see, I wonder who's up there that makes $500,000 or $20,000. No, he said, and this is a quote from him, when you are saving lives, they're all precious. Can I get a witness? When we're saving lives, he said, to these EMT people going into the building, they didn't care their color. They didn't care their nationality. They didn't care how much money they were making. They were going in to save lives. And Jesus died for the same reason, to save life. Rudolph goes on and says, and that's how we are supposed to live all the time. How would you want the cops to treat you if you were on that 75th floor that day? Would you want them to say, excuse me, but I got to get to the bosses first? Not exactly, he says. End quote. Now listen to me, brothers and sisters. Followers of Jesus, we talked about fan or follower a good long time this fall. If we are genuinely followers of Jesus, we are God's human representatives on this planet, and we simply cannot pick and choose who needs help, because they all do. The world around us that is outside of Christ needs help. They need Jesus. They need Christ, they need the cross, they need forgiveness, they need for salvation. And you and I, brothers and sisters, are God's representative. We are the hands and the feet of Jesus in everyday life. And we cannot pick and choose, well, I don't like this one because they're a different color. And I don't like that one because she don't look like me. And I don't like him because he's got bad language. We can't pick and choose. God loves them all. And Jesus died for them all. It doesn't matter how many times I listen to that video, and I've listened to it over and over and over in the last 2 weeks. My heart aches for the hurting world around us, and I ask myself, Jim and church, people of God, do we see her? Do we see him? The end of it ended up with a man running away. The movie was about the girl running away. The end was about the man running away. 100 miles an hour in the wrong direction. Do we in the church see them? Do we care? Sometimes those hurting people are right here in the building. Sometimes they're sitting right beside you. And my challenge to us for this new year and this new day, friends, is do we care? Well, you know good and well as I do, we got neighbors and co-workers and students, fellow students, that are hurting, a hurt just like she was when she went to try to have conversation with her father and the paper goes up. Don't have time for you. People are hurting. Jesus cares for them. I wonder if we do. Of this I am sure, absolutely sure, brothers and sisters, God wants followers of Jesus to value life as he values life. Amen? God wants his church, men and women of God, boys and girls, to value life like he values life. 1 John 4:20 says, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, John says he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brothers also. Let me ask you something. Do you know that sometimes God picks somebody that we wouldn't pick? To be his child, to be his follower, maybe to do extraordinary things. Did you know that? All we got to do is look at Scripture. It's full of it. He picked people that we wouldn't pick. He's still doing it. He's still picking people that he loves, that society don't love. He's still picking people that hurt because he loves them and society ain't picking them. And he wants you and I, brothers and sisters, to be his representatives to people that hurt. Oftentimes I wonder, I think I read this in a book someplace. This question is not original with me, so I know that much at least. I don't remember where I read it. But oftentimes I wonder, do we even realize that God doesn't limit himself to our kind? Do we realize that? He don't limit himself to our kind. You say, Jim, what I mean? That looks like me, that talks like me, that dresses like me, that has skin color the same as mine. God don't limit himself to my kind. Jesus died for all of us. Sometimes there's prejudice in the churches. There's no prejudices with God. There's no prejudices with Jesus. Let me ask you to ponder something for a moment. Think for a moment, and I mean this, think for a moment, of someone so different than you that you may even categorize them as undesirable. Think about it for a moment. God will put somebody on your heart, put somebody on your mind that you would categorize as undesirable. Do you remember? This is what I asked my six-year-old this morning as I was reading him. I asked him to think about somebody that's so different than you in school. And I then asked him, did you know, little buddy, Jesus died for them too? Did you know, brothers and sisters, that we look at people that look different than us and Jesus died for them too? Do you also realize that maybe that person that God just put in your mind that looks different, talks different, acts different, is undesirable in my eyes, maybe they're in your circle for a reason. Because God wants them to see Him through you. He wants to see Jesus. He wants them to see Jesus through you. Maybe that's why they're in your circle. Maybe that's why they're in my circle. Jesus had an encounter like that, you know. It's in John chapter 4. You know this story, but let me refer to verses 5 to 10 only to just give us a little reminder. John 4. Jesus was traveling about. Verse 5 says, "And he came to Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his own son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well." It was about the sixth hour. "And a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink.' For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?'" She asked him, because as the Bible writes, "For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." And Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." You see, friends, Jesus didn't care what country they came from. Jesus knew about her many husbands. Matter of fact, we don't have time to look at the whole account this morning, but you can read it in John 4. You can read all about this conversation that they had and all the things that happened. It's a wonderful story. Jesus knew all about her many husbands, and he knew too full well that she's now living with someone that she's not married to. He knew all about that. And yet, he took the time to have some conversation with her. I call that in everyday evangelism, getting on their level. Have some conversation with them. Understand who they are. And then, he offered her hope. You think there's much hope in this person's life? I'm thinking kind of minimal. He offered her hope in this living water of himself. And I just want to encourage us today, friends. Jesus took the time to care for a person like this. And I would dare say that nobody else, there's not too many people signing up to care for this person. Maybe her current boyfriend. Maybe. And yet Jesus took the time to care, simply care about her for who she was, a human being. And I wonder, as this music video reminded us, lofty glances from lofty people can't see past the scarlet letter, and we don't even know their name. Judgmental glances from lofty people, and we don't even know their name. How many times are we looking at the people around us with those kind of judgmental stares? You know what, brothers and sisters? I think as believers, we can do better than that. Amen? I think we can be better. I think we can do better than that. In the name of Jesus. It boils down to this, as I entitle this sermon. Jesus cares genuinely. Do we? I've mentioned that some of these are our neighbors, co-workers, classmates that nobody is giving the time of day to. But Jesus wants you to, and me. I've wondered as I've prepared for this these last days and a couple of weeks, and I've heard this video, I've listened to it over and over and over. I've wondered how many people in our communities are within the shadow of our church steeples dying a spiritual death while the church goes happily and merrily on their way. How many people in our communities hurt with a deep that is so hurting, and the church is going merrily on its way. Within the shadows of our steeples, not somebody else's, but ours. How many homeless are there in our communities, and jobless, and single moms, and drug addicts, and alcoholics, and murderers, and anything else? If we were in one of our Free Methodist churches in Chicago, prostitutes, and anybody else. How many are around the shadows of our steeple, and we don't care? I know we can use the argument, yeah, but preacher, they don't look like me, they don't talk like me, they don't act like me, and we don't have anything in common. I know we can use that argument, and Jesus could have too with a woman at the well, but he didn't. He cared enough about somebody so vastly different than he was. He offered them hope. And I suggest to us this morning, brothers and sisters, Jesus, in this little scenario in John chapter 4, is our example. You remember we talked about fan or follower? Followers follow Jesus. Let me give you a perfect little example to close. Your wife here, Jason? Last night, Janelle Caldwell was in Walmart. She was milling around the baby aisle, the young children's aisle. She just happened to see another couple that was milling around the same area looking for children's clothes. And she just happened to hear that this young couple was looking for a new dress. A new dress for a 16-month-old. And then she happened to hear that they're looking for a new dress because the 16-month-old was dead. And they needed a new dress for the casket. I was with that couple Friday morning when they lost their baby. They don't know nothing about Jesus. They don't know nothing about church. And Janelle, in hearing what they're buying this dress for, she did what Jesus asked us to do. She walked over and gave her a hug. She didn't know her from the man in the moon, the woman in the moon. And she walked over and she gave her a hug in Jesus' name. That's a pretty good example of what I'm talking about. You see, friends, there's some hurting folks around us. Just like the gal, all I know is just a made-up video. But there's some hurting folks around us. Running 100 miles in the wrong direction. While the church goes merrily, it's on its way, and we don't even know their name. I think we can do better than that. I think, as a matter of fact, I think if you would be so willing this new year to say, God, open my eyes, because there's somebody around me that hurts, and I know you want me to have a word for them. And you will encounter somebody just like Janelle did last night in Walmart. It may be at work. It may be out here this afternoon. It may be a month from now. It may be this week. But if you will say to God, please open my eyes because I know there's some folks hurting around me. He's going to open your eyes and you're going to see somebody that hurts. They might be right in church. You see, brothers and sisters, I don't know if Rudolph Giuliani claims Jesus Christ is Lord or not. I'm not his judge, but I know when he said, when you're saving lives, they're all precious. He meant it from an EMS standpoint, and Jesus meant it from a shedding his blood and dying on the cross standpoint. They're all precious. They're all precious, brothers and sisters. I'm going to have a chance to minister to that couple on Wednesday morning when I do the funeral for that 16-month-old baby. And I covet your prayers for the whole family. They got no connection with the church. I spent an hour and a half with them in the middle of the night on Thursday night. And I'm not saying this to boast. I'm just saying God put me there in their lives to tell them and to show them a little bit about the living Jesus that we know and walk with. And so all I can say this morning is, brothers and sisters, please be available to God's Spirit, because He's got a role for us. You hearing me? He's got a role for us. It might be as simple as what Janelle did last night, but He's got a role for you. He's got a role for me. He's got a role for Isaac and Pastor Les and every other one of us, because we claim the name of Jesus. We've got a role to play in representing Jesus. Everyday life, everyday living, to be the reflection to the world of Jesus. So when they hurt, they see somebody cares. And maybe they'll want to get to know this Jesus that we claim to know. And so all I can do is this morning is ask you, please be available to the Spirit's leading and ask Him to open your eyes to people that hurt around you. Jesus cares about them, and He wants you to too. Let's pray. God, I just need to repent on behalf of myself first. Too many times people have been in my life, perhaps in my circle, and I've probably had lofty glances from me thinking I'm all that, lofty people, judgmental stares, and that yet this somebody or somebodies are people for whom Jesus died. Forgive me for that, O Lord. Forgive us, Father, in the church for sitting within the confines and the comfort and the safety of a church building when there are people all around us that hurt so bad, so deeply, and we don't even know their name. Oh, we know they're there because we've seen them. But we haven't taken the time to know their name, to sit down and have conversation with them like Jesus did with the woman at the well. Forgive us, Father, for that. And Father, I pray that as we embark on this new year, new opportunities, new challenges directly from You, as You've challenged me here these last weeks, I pray, O God, open our eyes to be Your hands and feet. Maybe, Heavenly Father, we got to start with Jesus. Maybe we haven't got to the starting point yet where we have surrendered our lives completely to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Maybe we've attended church a few times. Maybe even went up to an altar call. Maybe even said a prayer, but haven't surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord. Father God, maybe we got to start there. If that's our case today, Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus that Your Spirit would not give rest to those that have run from You 100 miles in the wrong direction. You would not give them spiritual rest until they bow the knee and their head at the name of Jesus. Maybe we've known Christ as Lord for a while, a good while, and yet we've been kind of preoccupied. We've been busy. We've been involved. When walking right beside us in the pathway of life are people that desperately need Jesus. and you want us to say a word, to give them a hug, to give them a cup of cold water in Jesus' name, so to speak. Thank you for Janelle, for embracing that mother last night who just lost her baby. Thank you for others here that I know have done the same things. I pray, Father, we would do it over and over and over to the glory of you, our Heavenly Father. And so, Father, as we embark upon a new year, open our eyes to the people around us that so desperately need Jesus. And use us to bring glory to your great name. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.